Welcome back to the Go-To Podcast with myself, Freddie Claude, and of course, my culinary partner, Ben Benton. Today we're joined, actually we're honoured to be joined, by celebrity chef and food critic. You say globally, we haven't heard of you much in this country, David, but I know you're big in Australia. Welcome, how are you, sir?
I'm delighted to be here, got to say. You know, I've heard about you guys. You obviously have heard, you said global, it's not a global thing, but it's a very small country, Britain, so... You know, I'm here to change that.
Can I just jump in?
Yeah,
sorry,
because sure.
I'm feeling a little short of breath.
Why?
It is an honour to be sat in front of you, David.
You know, David.
Yeah, to be sat in front of restaurant royalty
Thank you.
So yeah, well, if I'm a little bit giddy throughout, that's why. Because I just can't believe that I'm sat here.
Do you know what? I've never heard of you. Who are you? I'm interested in knowing.
You're a very respected chef, Ben. Come on, you're doing.
I'm a very respected chef.
Yeah.
About a decade ago, I ran a chicken shop in Highbury.
Okay.
And ever since then, I've been just scratching around doing other things.
And how many outlets did you have in your restaurant?
We had one. We stopped at one.
Just one.
I mean, how many outlets do you have in your restaurant?
Three in Brisbane.
You say we.
Me and my mother.
Right. Okay, yes. What was the restaurant?
Don't laugh. Everyone works with their mother sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
But how else do you start a restaurant?
No, fair enough.
Well, what was the restaurant for those who don't know?
It's called Olive Creek.
Olive Creek, right. And what cuisine?
Well, it's Greek Australian, predominantly.
Okay.
I actually introduced the Australian element to it. My mum started as a Greek restaurant purely. She's Greek, obviously.
So just olive?
It was the olive tree.
Yeah,
and I was like, no, we need to, you know, make this more natural.
Right.
You know, the Aussies are like, what the fuck is an olive?
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, make it Creek, Olive Creek. Also, I've got a production company called Olive Creek Productions
that
for
helps,
my
actually.
TV shows.
Right.
And
tying it all in together.
Yeah. And once we started making it more Australian, I was like, steak, okay? Steak, chicken.
Chicken.
You know, the Greeks don't even like chicken.
No.
But I was like, we need it.
You need it.
So, there you go.
No, I mean...
From one chicken man to another.
Yeah. A couple of cocks.
I like it.
Did it go down well?
It didn't to start with, no.
No.
Got to be honest, we had to shut one.
Right.
Because it was a bit of a melding of worlds.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
They weren't ready.
People don't like tzatziki smothered on their steak.
No. They don't.
Apparently. But I think two things are delicious, put them together.
More than the sum of their parts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, for example, in your chicken shop, you probably had chicken and chips, probably.
We had chicken and potatoes.
Oh.
No, I know.
No wonder it closed.
Well, we stopped at one, as you say.
Yeah.
Chicken and potatoes and a side salad.
That's it.
What do you think of that as a food critic?
Look, I don't judge a book by its cover.
Right, okay.
You know, I'd like to try this chicken. And look, if this is a chicken come down from fucking heaven on the wings of a virgin,
yeah,
then, you know, maybe that is a great recipe, but it sounds garbage.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But how did yours go from one outlet being closed to then three outlets? People didn't like tzatziki covered in steak or steak covered in tzatziki. How did you grow the empire?
This is before I won, you know, well... Before I was runner-up in 2008's Brisbane, you know, Chef of the Year.
Yes,
2008.
Yeah, which you would have seen.
Yeah, it was a tough year.
It was a tough year. I was runner-up to, you know, Jose Gonzalez before he picked up a guitar.
What did he cook in that final? What did you cook? Can you remember?
Pancakes.
Right.
But garnished with feta.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's the garnish of the gods. You know, I pretty much put it on 80% of my recipes.
Right, okay.
Because, you know what? Something's good. Sometimes needs a bit of zing.
Yeah.
And feta. I have a little chalk pouch, which normally people put chalk in for climbing.
Yeah, insufferable.
Filled with feta for me.
What, so you're ready at
all times.
Occasions.
ready to season.
Any disastrous nights in the restaurant? Obviously, it grew to three business. I remember hearing a story that, was there not a problem with a waiter's erect penis once?
Let me just clear this up for the record, okay? Everyone's heard about the oyster incident. You know how they say oysters are an aphrodisiac?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I tried the freshest oyster there was. It was so delicious, I got aroused.
Mm-hmm.
And it was live on TV because Gordon Ramsay was in there doing an episode of Kitchen Nightmares. And basically a waitress, I was going to try and hide myself, and a waitress came around the corner and, you know, she got impaled. She, you know, sued me for harassment. That was what happened, all right? It wasn't my fault. It was the oyster's fault. It was too bloody delicious.
So you collided with her. What, you impaled her?
Okay, for the record, I did not impale her.
Right, okay.
Right? I happened to collide with her.
Yep.
I was aroused.
Yep.
She was hurt. And that was all that happened.
And you got sued or what? Arrested?
Yes,
closed?
That's why I'm in the UK now.
Right, okay.
So I've been cancelled.
Can't go back.
Can't go. Well, I can.
You won't.
But I won't out of principle.
No, right.
You know, because they cancelled me.
What happened to your mother?
She's still there. You
right.
know, she's finding it hard because, you know, the press are hounding her for a comment, you know, about your son's erect penis.
What kind of press are we talking about?
You know, WA Today, they came around. And they came across Australia for this, you know.
Wow.
Sure, they have a low readership, but, you know, they came over
okay.
and they said, hey, what do you got to say about your son's cock?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's why I'm here. I'm reinvigorating my career. You know, the UK's got a terrible, you know, reputation with food.
It does.
So I want to come. I want to be a part of the resurgence.
Yeah.
You know, help out people like you. Who, you know, there's more than just chicken.
Talking about oysters, let's get on to the first
section
of the podcast while we're here. Obviously, this podcast is about your go-tos in drink and food and also sort of restaurants now you live in London. We'll start with your go-to cocktail.
Yeah.
And for that, we'll also bring out a little treat, I believe, Benjamin, won't we?
Yeah, I have prepared a small treat.
That's very kind of you.
If that's all right.
Yeah.
Can we reveal the treat?
Can
I'll reveal the treat then.
Why don't you give us your go-to cocktail as the treat is revealed?
All right, my go-to cocktail. Ooh, look at that. That looks lovely. My go-to cocktail is called a Dirty Russian.
Right, okay.
Which I invented in February 2022. It's basically a white Russian,
right.
But I add Liam Perrins. Look, you know, in the same vein as feta adding zing, Liam Perrins does that perfectly.
Yeah, that acidic spring.
Oh, wow, look at these.
So bring out some Rosa Blanca there, are we?
Ah, is this a bit of proddy place-o?
So, Ben, what do we have here? We've just heard about, what did you call it, David?
A Dirty Russian.
A dirty Russian, which is a white Russian with...
Liam Perrins.
Liam Perrins.
Yeah. It's more savoury.
Invented in February 2022.
Exactly.
As a result of the war, or...?
No, just coincidence.
A coincidence.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got burnt in Perth when I was in Australia.
Oh, yeah?
Trying to order a cocktail, and they refused to serve it to me. What they did give me was this.
Okay.
And so I thought...
That's...
So it's a beer.
Right.
Oh, nice.
In Australia, it was a Tooheys.
Ah, Tooheys extra dry.
Well, it was a Tooheys blue.
Oh.
Which is Russell Crowe's favourite beer.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know you said, obviously, that incident with the oyster got you cancelled and sort of chucked out the country. But I read in a interview from, I think, 2006 with one of the papers when you were sort of up and coming, that you still use the same knife, the same cleaver.
That's right.
Which you were given in a subway in Sydney, is that?
That's right. Yeah, there's the metro. Or otherwise subway.
Right.
There's an amazing noodle bar. And I went to the guy and it was like, you know, it was a bit like Kill Bill. You know, I was like, please teach me your ways. And he, you know, spent 40 minutes with me just being like, Sean, this is how you know, show me how to chop. It's about nearly a foot large.
The cleaver.
Yeah, it's a cleaver. But it's actually called a fikontonchi, which is actually how the Japanese pronounce it.
Okay.
I've never heard it pronounced like that.
Yeah, it's made by the same guys who make samurai swords.
Wow.
So.
And you was given it?
Well, no, I got it for a steal.
Right,
you know,
okay.
I think it cost me only about 30 bucks.
Okay, and you use that for everything you cut?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think small knives are for, you know, sissies.
It's not my main knife.
No?
No.
Let me see it.
I'd rather not show you.
No, please. Come on, Ben. Show David your knife.
Don't let him get embarrassed about his dinky little knife.
Go on, show your knife.
Travel knife.
Come on, let's see the knife.
Take it on the plane, will you?
Can we hold that up to the camera?
I don't want to hold it up to the camera.
It's more like a fucking toothpick.
I don't want to hold up to the camera.
Ben, just hold it up. Come.
Bloody hell.
Let's see the camera.
Look.
There's his knife.
Let me see it. Let me see it. Cool, let me have a look.
Come on.
What, so you can laugh at me?
No.
Come on, Ben. Let's share.
Bloody hell, look at that.
What do you think that? It's like an oyster shucking knife, isn't it? Really?
And so you got a kid with... Imagine showing that off to a girl. Like, look, I'm a chef. They're like... Pff.
It's IVF. Yes. We had to do IVF because...
They had to do IVF.
Oh, right. I'm sorry to... Sound really hard.
It was really hard, actually.
Well, let's go back to the cocktail, Ben, because this is getting a bit awkward with David. And you guys have got a bit of beef, both being chefs. Obviously,
there's no beef. I told you at the beginning, I've got nothing but respect for the man.
Okay.
Well, I've got nothing but respect for your mother.
Hey.
I think she did amazingly to get to
I modernised that restaurant.
Well, yeah, no. You say that.
What's the dish you're most proud of introducing to that restaurant? Just finishing on that.
Dish I'm most proud of, it was a fish dish. What I'm a big fan of is making food that's visually stimulating.
Yeah.
You know, taste is fine, but it's got to look cool.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of, you know, contemporary works of infrastructure. So, for example, I've got one which is a slice of skate, you know, on four sort of melon girders.
Right.
And then you've got a potato paste that sticks it all together.
That sounds amazing.
And that's called the Golden Skate Bridge.
Wow, that is very good. Still kicking that in London?
It's in my new book.
Okay.
It's coming out on Quickie Books, which is the publisher.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the best for just quick turnarounds. You know, send the PDF and then they just ping it on back to you like 2 weeks later, 200 copies.
Ready to print.
Yeah. No, it's all printed.
Oh, they printed?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's coming out soon or...?
Yeah, I've got them ready to go.
We're looking forward to seeing that book, David.
There's loads of recipes.
Yeah, so. Looking forward to it. Can you send us a copy?
Predominantly it's infrastructure-based, but yeah.
Okay, cool.
Infrastructure-based food.
Yeah.
Okay, Ben, nice. Tell us what we have here. So we've got a beer, and it seems to have a shot alongside it of some sort.
Yes, it's a beer. And it's a shot of ouzo.
Oh, wow.
Very and this was the only... It's an aged ouzo.
Oh, wow.
So it's been aged 47 years.
Ouzo. Wow.
The ouzo, yeah.
Greek.
So that's in the... It's Greek, yeah. And the beer is Australian.
Well,
great.
This is amazing. This is like...
That's wow. This is like me
David Angelos
in
drink.
A drink.
That's what I thought. I didn't know you were so into structural food. I could have done something cleverer.
No, this is... Do you know what? It's not your fault you didn't know. You should have done your research, sure. But, you know, this is really kind of you.
Yeah.
To give me a Greek and Aussie drink at the same time.
So what, are we going to do the shot first? Or
you're just going to pour one into the other.
You dunk it in.
You pour the shot into the beer.
Like a Boilermaker. Okay.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Oh.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you very much.
The beer, which is obviously sort of weak and Australian, I taste a little sour edge because of the shot of ouzo.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? It's almost disgusting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
A bit of Liam Perrins would help.
Yeah.
You are right. For the first time since we met, you're right.
Let's move on with your go-tos, because as we you know, sip away on this, your go-to drink with a meal, I mean, would you have something like this alongside? I mean, what, you know, when you're having your sort of your Greek food at home?
I've got basically a subscription service to Yellowtail Chardonnay. Every meal I have, it's got to have Yellowtail. It's the nectar of the gods.
Okay.
You know, it's ambrosia. It's a white Chardonnay. It's pretty highbrow. Like, you can get it anywhere. But for those who know, you know, it's one of those ones that, like...
Yeah. So you're leaning away from the sort of natural wine movement?
No, they taste like absolute garbage,
They taste like garbage.
You know, I don't want an orange Fanta-looking, tangy, fizzy piece of crap. You know, if I want that, I'll have this drink right here.
Yes.
No offence.
No offence taken.
But, you know, Chardonnay, love it. The cheaper, the better.
Yellowtail. Okay.
Yeah. Jacobs.
Or Jacobs.
Yeah.
Really? Because a lot of people don't think they're good wines.
So. Jacob's Creek.
Yeah.
A lot of people are wrong about a lot of stuff, I suppose, aren't they?
So, you don't want to move with the crowd. No. You know, it's always there.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. You know, choose something that's always accessible. That's my philosophy.
Do you have a bad drinking problem? Do you drink a lot?
So my wife and I separated at the moment.
Sorry.
Yeah. And when that happened and she took the kids, I drank quite a lot. I'm a wine expert. So, you know, every day someone's like, try this wine. What do you think? I'm like, it's shit. That's all right. Yeah, it's part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I drink a lot.
Okay, good. What's your morning drink, the first thing you drink in the morning?
I like predominantly Earl Grey straight away, but the problem is I only like it when it's cold. So I've got to wait.
Cold pressed.
You've got to boil it and then wait.
All right.
But it's worth it because it's smoother on the palate.
Right. And you wouldn't make it the night before?
No. Because then it's stewed for too long. You get the little shitty bits on the top.
You do. That's true.
So you make a cup of tea... And then have to wait sort of 20 minutes, maybe a bit longer.
I don't think 20 minutes would be long enough.
No.
Well, I don't. You're the expert. I don't know how long.
Yeah, how long is it?
Roughly 34 minutes.
34 minutes.
For Luke. Hour for cold.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes put in the fridge.
So cold Earl Grey first thing, and then what?
When I'm in the morning, you know, I'm thinking eggs. Always something to do with eggs.
Yeah.
I like to sometimes make, you know how they have eggs and soldiers?
Yes.
So I reverse it. So what the reverse is you get 6 eggs, you boil them. And then you get one of those apple core removers, right? And then you just cut into the boiled eggs where the apple core would be, and then you get 5 soldiers of egg.
I mean, that's clever.
That is incredible.
So I do that.
What do you have alongside those, though?
I have a bowl of toasted breadcrumbs.
Right.
So I dip the egg soldiers in the breadcrumbs.
That's genius.
That's unbelievable.
That is very clever.
I know.
Have you ever heard of anything like that before?
I've never, ever, ever heard of anything as clever as that.
Reversing foods is one of my favourite pastimes.
Is it?
Yeah. Have you ever reversed a food?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever.
No? So, like, have you ever had mash and bangers, for example?
No.
So mash and bangers is where you basically make a whole heap of sausage, but in the shape of mashed potato. So you just mash it up, and then you just got little potato sausages.
You like cold food, then?
Generally, yeah. Yes. Well, that's part of being food. Australian, Greek, you know, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. You don't want to sit around and have a big hot chili soup,
no.
Do you?
So how have you found it moving to London then?
I've got to be honest, it's not as cheap as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's quite shitty food. It's expensive food. People are quite rude, mean. People say, oh, look at you bloody cool Polandek, you gimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, they shout at me a bit in the street. I think they can tell. You know, they know I'm here to try and help the country. Yeah. I don't care.
How do you make a living over here? How are you making money?
So I've got a new show coming out.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's not for the internet. It's not for, you know, streaming services. It's not for a channel. It's actually for a budget airlines in-flight entertainment system.
Wow.
Right, wow. Yeah,
it's called Jet King. Great airline. They're just kicking off out of Philippines. Anyway, they've commissioned me to go around the UK every episode on a new part of the UK. So meeting real people, trying the food, trying the wine,
That's amazing.
So they're paying me, you know, a pittance, sure, yeah, from what I'm used to, but, you know, you've got to start back from somewhere.
Yeah, 100%. You've been cancelled. You need to rise back up.
So, you know.
And British food is popular in the Philippines, or at least you're trying to make it more popular.
I'm trying to promote, you know, in effect, it's for tourism, you know. Yeah. They want the Filipinos to come here and come and, you know, try the food. Maybe they've just got a low bar for food, so that's why, you know, who the fuck would want to come here? Let's have a thing. Maybe the Filipinos.
Yeah.
Finally, on the drink section, we ask, what's your hangover drink of choice? Your go-to drink of choice for your hangover?
So I live off milk. You know, if I'm hungover, which is most days, because it's obviously my profession, I'll get one of those big 3-litre milks, just get a straw.
Wow.
And I just love milk. I wouldn't drink a drop of water.
Blue top or green top?
Blue.
Blue.
Yeah. I want creaminess.
Yeah.
I will occasionally have just to take the edge off, just a couple of shots of tequila, to, you know, just to get the liver working again.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
What age did you start working in your mother's restaurant?
I was 18 years old.
You're 18, okay. And then obviously you made a name for yourself there. Did you ever have any disastrous nights? What was the worst night you ever had doing service?
I've got to be honest, being the boss's son has its problems. It's a bit like being the prime minister's son or the president's son.
Yeah.
You know, people can treat you normal, but you're not normal. You're different.
Yeah.
You know, you own the place and you can bloody well act like it.
Well, you own the place if she dies.
But you know, I'm in her will at the moment.
You sure?
I think so. I should probably find out. My brother's getting his grubby little mitts on it. Yeah.
I really, since you got cancelled, he's...
Oh, he's trying. He's circling. Yeah. But, no, okay, in answer to your question, the worst night we ever had was when one of the waiters, you know, opened up a bottle of wine for an owner, spilled a bit on his crotch, right? So I say to the waiter, I take him aside, I say, what the fuck are you doing? How dare you? You know, you can't spill a bottle of wine on a client. And he's, you know, he was technically my manager, sure, but, like, you know, he's not the boss's son.
No.
That was the worst night because he quit, and then I, you know, my mum, you know, really gave me a good old rollick. You know, I was banned from FETA for 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do with the stuff in your pocket then?
No, at this point, I wasn't allowed a chalk bag. Okay. She had a chalk bag.
She confiscated the chalk bag.
She confiscated the chalk bag.
Presumably.
Right, okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
She'd put it up above the fridge where I couldn't get it.
No.
But you were 18. Were you not fully filmed at that point?
We had a very big fridge.
Yeah, very big.
They are big.
They're big in Australia.
And my mum, you know, she had this. She had the only access to a stepladder.
Okay.
Really?
Ben, you obviously worked in a professional kitchen for, well, 3-4 years.
I did,
running your own restaurant. Any disastrous nights which could compete with that?
I had one terrible night, personally, and I think we were probably on our second or third time of turning the restaurant. So it was a rotisserie, big rotisserie thing with fire, and you had to put the chickens on the spits.
Mm.
When they were cooked, take them off and serve them.
Yeah.
It was quite a simple idea.
Yeah.
But if they got overcooked, they would sometimes fall off. And so we were very, very busy. So to set the scene fully, I was running the whole thing on my own because my sous chef...
It's probably quite easy to do when you're just doing chicken salad.
Well, you know, someone's got to serve the potatoes.
Oh, right. You were cooking it all.
I was cooking it all serving it all single-handedly because my sous chef had come into work. He'd had a big night. And he was actually lying in the kitchen. Fundamentally, he was whiting. Is that a technical term?
Yeah.
Having a whitey.
And that's when you piss your pants.
He'd shat himself.
Yeah.
He'd right next to the rotisserie chickens.
Yeah. No, we put him downstairs because just for health and safety reasons.
Crikey.
So I was doing it on my own. And as I took the chickens off, all four, you get on one spit, fell into the hot oil, which below the chicken, and I burnt both my hands.
Crikey dick.
And luckily, we had exclusively Greek kitchen porters.
Yeah, well, quite right.
Leah Hatsu Evangeleni was her name.
Okay.
Head kitchen porter. She told me that if you pour vinegar down your arms over a burn, it stops it from blistering.
And it has to be down your arms. You can't just dip.
She didn't offer the dip, interestingly.
Did it work?
Yeah. I'm completely unscarred.
No way.
This is a real story. And she, so she
this
poured
is all this, real, Ben.
And she poured it down my arms, and I'm completely burnless. And then she cling filmed it.
Wow.
Those were the two moves.
And do you do this now whenever you get burnt?
I do.
And it works every time?
Works a charm.
Right.
Vinegar. And it feels boiling hot when you pour it on. And it's sucking the burn to the surface.
Crikey.
And, she also, we found out later, thought you could cure cancer by drinking bleach.
Ooh.
Right.
Can you do?
You actually, you know, I've heard this. I've heard it. I haven't tried it because I haven't had cancer yet.
No.
But, you know, when I do, I'll be the first to try it. Like, you got to try everything in life, don't you?
Yeah. Well,
like, you know, that sous chef, tried weed, right?
Yeah.
What did he try? Weed, yeah?
I think it was just weed.
Just weed, and he shat himself.
Yeah.
But he tried it, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, you can't give a guy shit for not for just trying something
no, that's
out.
That's true.
Well, he was fired though, wasn't he?
He was fired, yeah. Was he fired after?
Was he? Yeah, well, it was irresponsible behaviour.
Yeah, it was. Just before we get onto your food sections, your food go-tos, David, you then end up obviously being cancelled in that disastrous oyster
ordeal. Yeah.
We won't revisit that. But you come to the UK. Where do you end up living? What's your first job off the ranks? Because you have to start making money to survive in London, I suppose.
No, I only recently came to London post the oyster breach. Well, to be fair, there was a bit of a limbo, you know. I was up to my knees in lawsuits and...
Yeah.
So, you know, technically, yeah, I'm on the run. But, you know, she can't fly me in London. So I found a really lovely little bedsit up in North Finchley.
Right. Which, so central-ish.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the heart of London.
Yeah.
So I live there. And do you know, I've been doing odd jobs on the side, sure. You know, I'm not afraid of having to work for a quick buck.
Yeah,
great. Until my TV show takes off, literally.
Yeah, well, clever. Let's move on to food, because obviously you're a man in demand. But let's start with your go-to delivery order.
Oh, yeah.
You get back late, maybe a bit drunk, and you decide David Angelos needs a delivery.
Well, I always say you should only deliver things you can't cook yourself. Or you can't be fucked to cook yourself. Sorry, I'm allowed to swear.
You are allowed to swear.
You are, yeah.
I'll typically go for pasta. Because, you know, you can't cook pasta at home.
No. Nightmare.
Or eggs and bacon sometimes. I mean, obviously I cook eggs in my way, but I need something quickly. I need it fast. I don't want to wait too long. Pasta, they can just boil it in a pan, bring it to me, shove it in my bowl.
Drive it halfway, yeah.
Yeah. So probably pasta. And the one I like is cacio e pepe.
Right, okay.
Because I love pepper.
But with feta?
Yeah, well, I've already got plenty of that. So my fridge is pretty chocker with feta. And actually, a lot of people don't know, the best feta you can get in the UK, Tesco's.
Really?
Essentials feta.
Right, so entry level.
Believe it or not, it's the most similar to the one straight from my grandmother used to make.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like an absolute mug. So I've made some feta.
Wow.
For you.
Oh, my God. Is that homemade?
That's homemade. Couldn't get Greek milk.
Show off.
So that is it's actually North Macedonian milk.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's not feta then, is it? Does it have to be Greek to be feta, I think.
Does it? So what I
So it's just Greek.
You actually made that.
No, we'd love to. Does that have an accompaniment, or is it just we're just dipping in?
Don't need an accompaniment with feta.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
No, feta late than never.
I just bought a few.
Oh, lovely.
I thought we could.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
like being in a Greek bar. We've got the Greek beer, we've got the the Aussie beer.
I used to make feta all the time, so I know what goes into this.
I wasn't trying to flex by making it. I just thought you'd appreciate it.
I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to shit on my culture, being like, oh, I'll show you how to do Greek. That's appropriation.
I worried about that.
Stick to chicken.
Yeah.
No, but look, let's try it.
Yeah, try it, please.
Let's see how you've done. Because I'm going to be honest, it takes a lot of hard work to make a good one.
It does.
They've got, you know, Andros Papadopoulos working at Tesco's. That's why theirs are so good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's just trying, for those listening. David Angelos.
Oh, he's got me.
He's looking at the jar closely.
Before you say... I'm sorry. I haven't made it.
I know.
It's Tesco's essential.
Is it?
Yeah.
I can taste Angelos wherever I go.
Right.
I know Angelos when I want to try it.
I feel like such a dick.
It is Macedonian, though. It tastes like Macedonian grass. Tell me how you came across this.
So you bought, I just lived near a Tesco. Some feta and put it in a jar to pretend you
Are you saying you tried to, you captured all the juice from the packet? I find that hard to believe.
I chopped up the feta. I mixed some salt into water. I poured it over it. I wanted to make it look like real feta. Because I know you like feta.
So you've lied.
Now I feel
you've
like
lied to David Angelos.
I've lied to David. I've lied to you, Freddie, as well.
Me. That's weird.
Yeah.
He's a weird guy.
Yeah,
I feel like an arsehole. But
I need to lie.
I was trying to do a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's trying to promote his new restaurant, no doubt. You're doing a Greek restaurant. Is that the next thing? Is that why I'm here?
Have you thought about a Greek restaurant?
I have actually long thought about a Greek restaurant, yeah.
Well, David, come on. We've got a lot of your food choices to go through.
Apologies.
So before you boys keep on bickering. What is your sort of go-to midweek meal? You come back, you don't want to get a takeaway, you want to be creative in the kitchen, and you say, like, what can I whip up? Yeah, I believe you live by yourself, your wife's left you with the kids.
That's correct.
Sorry, not with the kids, with the kids.
Yeah.
So it's you by yourself, what are you whipping up?
I like making a lovely dish, which I grew up with going, you know, back to Greece. It's a classic orzo prawn saganaki.
Right.
Which does sound Japanese.
It does.
But it's not. It's Greek. Prawn, also saganaki.
Do we know what saganaki means?
No.
No.
I actually don't speak Greek.
No.
My mother's half Greek. My granny's full-blown Greek. Right. So I used to go there every summer to her place in Corfu. Actually, granny didn't speak Greek either.
No.
But, you know, she lived there for a while.
So you're not? Are you sure you're even Greek?
Well, they lived there for a long time.
Mm. Okay.
So hold you do the math.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, so granny used to make this prawn saganaki. It's lovely. You can add a bit of vodka to give it a bit of richness, a bit like that, you know, vodka pasta
that
you can make with bucket loads of cream and, yeah, loads of feta. So it's a lovely tomato heaty dish. You get a bit of chili in there. But then when you crumble the feta on, that's when it creams. And I love creaming with that, you know.
Prawn saganakis. Maybe we should go for some later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Go around yours.
Can you get a good saganaki in London?
Well, I think we'll just go around his flat.
Yeah, we're in South London now. Just pop up to North Finchley.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you what's the route?
I normally just get the bus. I think I get the bus. Yeah. Or cycle, actually. Just recently got one of these Boris bikes. £4, and then you just got a bike forever.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I think
it's amazing.
It's not forever.
Well, I've got it, don't I?
Right, okay.
So,
are you still got it?
Yeah. Had it for 3 months now.
Oh,
that's going to be
expensive.
Well, just there are fines, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah. Huge fines.
Oh, find me. Find me. You know, I've no fixed address.
No, man on the run.
Okay.
Man on the run.
What would be, we're currently sat here in the sort of, you know, the depths of winter.
Yeah.
If you're going to have us around, you know, we want to go around for the prawn saganaki one day, but what would be your go-to three-course meal if you did have us around?
This is a tough one.
It is.
Three-courser.
For a chef.
It is a tough one because, you know, the world is full of flavours. So, you know, there's a lot to choose. I reckon to start off with, what I love is, I love Chinese, any Asian food.
Really? To cook?
I make a go. I have a bloody good go. Mainly, I just chuck a lot of ketchup manis and stuff around.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of ginger, garlic, a lot of ketchup manis, you know, a bit of Shaoxing wine. Yeah. And then you basically got any Asian dish.
Yeah.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So I do that and then I just, like, you know, chuck in some chicken or pork or something like that.
Okay.
And it's really easy, you know, chuck in some broccoli, that goes well. And people think, oh, wow, did you get this from a local takeaway? No, I bloody did that myself.
Wow.
Incredible.
So try that one. That would be my main.
Yeah.
That would be main. But also, little, you know, the trinkets on the side. You know, you get your satay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your satay chicken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll like that chicken.
Yeah. Chicken.
Yeah. But satay, you should have done this in your restaurant. Peanut sauce.
It's clever, isn't it?
And you can get a hot one and there's a normal one. I think that would be the main, but all the trinkets. So satay, chicken satay, seaweed, which isn't actually seaweed. It's
kale.
Didn't know that. Yeah, but I knew it wasn't. Is it kale? I thought it was lettuce.
It's kale.
It is kale.
Deep fried kale.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. You do now.
Well, I thought it was cabbage. It's
one of the brassicas.
Yeah.
The one.
And then a dessert?
For my dessert, I love tiramisu.
Yeah.
You know, I replace a lot of the I love replacing ingredients. You know, a bit like the switching of the eggs like that. I love switching stuff. So tiramisu, instead of, you know, instead of the booze at the bottom, I put orzo in. Ouzo.
Very similar words.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
One's rice pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other's a booze.
So which one is it, the booze or the pasta?
I might try with the pasta.
Yeah.
That is clever.
Instead of the biscuits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ladies' fingers.
Your ladies' fingers.
Are they called ladies' fingers?
Yeah. They are.
Something sexy about that.
Yeah, there is something
or creepy.
And creepy.
Ladies' fingers.
Yeah.
Okay, so ouzo instead of the grappa.
Yeah.
Orzo.
Yeah.
Instead of the thing.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel that's just to get you out of a hole because you used the wrong.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I didn't know.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So which one do you want to commit to?
Ouzo.
Okay, it's the ouzo.
Okay.
But to tell the truth, I love all tiramisus. Get the booze out of it. I love all that cream.
Really? It's just the cream.
I love whipping up that cream.
Yeah. Double-handed.
I made it with Biscoff before. It's really good.
Biscoff layers is the
of,
spread.
Layers of Biscoff crumbled. You know, the biscuits.
The free ones with the coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In hairdresser biscuits. You make all the layers with just Biscoff crumbled and then just the creme. Bits. It's fucking amazing.
Well, we need to get all these recipes. We will put in the bio of the podcast because there's so many.
Assuming they're in the book.
It's in the book, yes. Right. And it's in the shape of the Eden Project.
Okay.
In Cornwall.
Wow. Wow.
So it's like two big domes of tiramisu Biscoff.
That's stunning.
$12.99 Amazon.
If we were going to come round for that three-course meal, seeing as you love to drink, it'll probably be quite a boozy night. We'll probably get quite merry. What is your hangover cure, food-wise?
I normally just smoke two cigarettes. that gets the worst bit out the way.
Right.
You know? So you wake up, you're like, oh my God, I feel like absolute cockshite.
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh, I'll have a cigarette to make myself feel even worse.
Yeah.
But then you know it's always up.
The second one makes you feel better.
Yeah. I don't smoke, but only when I'm hungover.
Just in that moment.
In that moment of feeling like that.
But you must be hungover most days. You drink quite a lot every day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I've smoked two a day, but only before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't count.
No. Really. So I have one, I'm like, oh, God, it's revulsing. Ugh. And then I'm having another, I'm like, oh, I think I might die. But then I get through it, and I'm like, it's done now.
Bang.
Get on with my day.
Yeah.
Well, one thing you're now in this country is obviously you see how obsessed the Brits are with a meal deal.
Yeah.
And we asked for your meal deal combination and you told us. Do you want to reveal it to the masses or not?
That's very kind.
We've actually got you the posh one as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Taste it. So, prawn cocktail sandwich.
Yeah.
Wow, that is posh. Wow. With chili lemon Mary Rose sauce on rye bread. That sounds delightful, God. Oh, salt and vinegar. I love them. Look. Salt and vinegar.
You've got a salt and vinegar.
Ridges.
Always got them on me. Because what I like to do is use them as a garnish as well. Crumble them on stuff.
With the feta.
Really?
Yeah. But thank you. Wow, that's very kind.
Yeah.
Well, I asked for full fat coat.
They run out of full fat.
Yeah. No one runs out of fat. You forgot.
No. They run out of full fat. Yeah. I'll never forget such a simple order. It was actually the same order, Ben, you had, right?
Really?
Same combination.
Are more similar than you might imagine.
Bloody underestimated you.
Thank you. That means a lot. I would take a Diet Coke, though. I find it too syrupy and sugary the other one.
I'm more of a zero kind of guy.
Really?
Best of both worlds.
But you asked for full fat.
I just said Coke. And I was like, let's see what he does.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
You know, I want to see what you... It was a test.
Lay a trap. Okay.
And I failed.
You fell into it.
You did. I mean, look, diet is the shittest one.
Yeah.
You know, full fat's like, yeah, I feel great, but also I'm a bit charged. I'm going to crash at some point. And my mouth feels a bit sappy.
Yeah.
Coke, zero. You know, it's like, oh, God, it tastes amazing. But I'm not feeling that energy, like, huge rush. But you got a bit of an upper from the caffeine. It's perfect.
Yeah, it is good.
And then that's just shit.
It's dog shit.
He hates Diet Coke.
Okay.
That's become clear.
Well, that's quite a critical turn you're using. Obviously, you are a food critic.
Mm.
What's the hardest review you've had to do? And have you ever had sort of beef with the head chef if you've written them a bad review? Have you got any restaurants closed? Have you ever even written a review?
I predominantly do reviews live.
Okay.
So I say to the chef, I think this is dog shit. Or like, you know, this chicken is dry. This rotisserie chicken is boring.
Seems quite realistic.
Or like, this side salad is plain. Wow. You know, these are the things that I would say to your face.
Yeah.
This is just hypothetical. You know, this is a boring menu.
I mean, it feels quite personal.
It's not. It's just coincidence.
No, okay.
So I do them live to people's face. I never write anything.
Okay.
But they know me. So, like, for example, my bitterest enemy, John Turode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Australian beef.
Big time. He knows who I am. I know who he is. We've been battling it out, you know, online, on Twitter, you know, every day, pretty much. He's like, get off my back. And I'm like, you know, he stole my spot at MasterChef. That was meant to be me.
Really?
Yeah. But what? Apparently Greg Wallace hates Greeks.
Oh, okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So Turode, where's he originally from?
Exactly. He's from Brizzy. So
is it?
Yep, he's from Brizzy. We used to grow up on the other side of the streets, and you know, I used to be out there cooking, you know, all my dishes on the streets, selling it, going, people going crazy. Oh, David, give me a food.
Yeah.
Please give me a steak sandwich. And he was there like jazzing around with some, like, you know, vegetables.
Pathetic.
And he was jealous of me.
Yeah.
He sabotaged me. I think he might have planted the oyster in my restaurant. Anyway, Turode is my enemy. But as a critic, you know, I go around just trying what I can. You know, the world is a buffet, and I love going around trying it, telling them what I think directly. No lies with me. So
what? For fans, sorry, Freddie, no, just for fans of, because people will be watching this and thinking this guy's unbelievable, enigmatic. You know, I want to engage with his reviews. How would they do that?
Just follow me around.
Physically, right?
Well,
okay.
Until my TV show. Well, my in-flight entertainment show. Yeah. You can fly to the Philippines to watch me.
Right.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Jetking.com. Or you can just I normally share my location with everyone.
Right. So, you know, on the phone, you're literally sharing.
I'm just sharing it all the time on my Twitter. So people can follow me. People can be like, oh my God, Dave, where are you going to try? And, you know, sometimes once every week or so, someone does come.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you think? I'm like, it's great, or it's shit, you know.
Well, we are going to give you a chance to be a food critic now, because, Benjamin, You've done some research into this wonderful man, David Angelos, and you've created a dish you believe he's going to enjoy. So when we get that out, what have you made? And then we're going to fire through a couple of Angelos's top locations in London, and then come to a, you know, a nice, wonderful close to the proceedings. But let's find out what you made here. It's amazing. Is this Greek? Looks quite Greek. Through the clean film.
Oh my life. Look at this. Wow.
It's sweated slightly inside the
Oh, it looks incredible.
The package.
Beautiful.
So that is a
I believe it's called a spanakopita.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So it's a spinach and feta pie.
Ooh, that's delicious.
I might have died and gone to heaven.
Yeah. Not structural.
No,
necessarily.
But, you know, you can always make a structure out of it. You know,
yeah, interesting. So how would, like, just for me, because as obviously as a chef who... Yeah.
We can see that on the camera. I mean, how would you make that structural?
Okay, so the world is like a canvas. You've just got to use your mind.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to...
Well, I don't want to, you know...
No, let's start
debase,
theoretical.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
So theoretically, what you could do is slice off two halves. Not directly in half, but just about a third.
Like the cheeks there.
Yeah. And then you've got Ayers Rock.
That's very clever.
That's just one. That's just off the top of my head. That was just off my... Sorry?
Are you saying once I've done this, what's left behind?
Yeah, that's Ayers Rock. And then the other two, Sydney Bridge.
Wow.
That's actually very clever.
So you can do most of Australia's main sort of landmarks.
Yeah.
Just out of that.
Those are there, the two, aren't they?
Incredible.
Really?
So you've got to be creative, you know. It's not all about the ingredients.
Well, can we cut up a tiny bit to try, Ben? It looks absolutely incredible.
That looks absolutely delicious. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
As you do, and we just want some quick answers on these, David.
Sure.
Best place for a date in London?
Cinnamon Cafe.
Right, where's that?
Westminster.
Okay, what is it?
It's an old library, and it sells really delicious Indian food. I like to see people sweat when I'm asking them questions.
Right. Have you been on a date recently or not?
No.
Okay.
I've tried. I've been on Bumble.
Okay.
Where you give the women the power.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out when they've got the power, they don't want to see me.
Oh, right, okay.
So no
swipes whatsoever.
Oh, I'm swiping. I'm swiping till my thumbs are trembling.
Have you got the premium model where you can keep swiping?
Yep, I've got gold edition.
Wow.
But I keep swiping. Thank you very much. Bloody hell, look at that.
Well, let's try this, please, David. Come on.
You should.
The layers look incredible.
We should.
It looks amazing.
I suspect it is delicious, but I don't know.
It is
really good.
Is it all right?
Bloody good.
It's obviously nerve-wracking giving a Greek man.
A famous chef.
Look,
yeah, a famous chef, opinionated Greek man.
You do a bit of a cultural appropriation, that's fine.
That's bloody good.
Yeah, I've had that.
Ben, I think that's delicious.
It's sweated, hasn't
perfectly
it?
Perfectly seasoned, yeah, but it's lovely.
Did you make the pastry as well?
I did
not.
It's tough to make phyllo pastry, isn't it?
It is.
To be honest.
Tastes incredible, though.
I do normally get the packet stuff.
Do you?
Yeah.
Even in the restaurant?
Yeah, especially in the restaurant.
Yeah,
especially. You haven't got time.
No, you haven't got time. It's literally all you're doing is cooking for the customers. But no, you are right. You haven't got time.
This must be heaven for you. I mean, feta in a pie.
Takes me back to my younger days. I remember...
This is a John Terode recipe, by the way. Sorry, I should say that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
What? I knew you grew up...
It's fucking disgusting.
What?
I thought it was taking you back to your childhood.
Oh, because I knew you grew
up. Yeah, because I hate it. I hated him.
You hated him.
And I remember smelling his phyllo from across the street.
He made his own,
probably. Pull your pants up, you geek.
Right. So you don't like it?
The spinach is fine, because it's no one's fault that got picked and made into that.
No.
I'll just check.
Check it.
Yeah.
Because what's clever about Terode's recipe is he uses the spinach, but then you add parsley and oregano.
Tastes incredible.
And then plenty of lemon juice.
Yeah, so good.
It's a very clever recipe. It's very easy to follow.
It's not clever.
Isn't it?
Not clever.
No.
Too much zing in there.
Too much flavour.
Too much flavour.
Sort of Terode's trademark, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the zing.
I've never heard someone be critical that there's too much flavour in food.
It can happen.
Okay.
Yeah. We once had chicken sent back, and this will come as a surprise to you, for being too moist.
Really?
Yeah.
What, as in underdone or just too moist?
No, too...
Like too flavourful?
Too juicy, too flavourful.
Was it one of the ones that fell off the... Was it one of the ones that fell off the spit by any chance?
It wasn't, no. It was genuinely cooked perfectly and sent back for being too flavourful.
What's your dream long weekend getaway and the itinerary? What would you do if Dave and Angelos could take a weekend away? I know you work hard, you do a lot of side jobs.
Yeah.
You're hustling to pay your rent in North Finchley. But if you did have time, where would you go?
Dubrovnik. I love Game of Thrones.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to visit all the old sites for King's Landing. And also, you know, Croatian food is famously delicious.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They do this amazing sausage that they just serve to you with just like a couple of bits of potato, and it's so good. They don't need to do anything to it.
So it'd be Dubrovnik eating sausages and looking at Game of Thrones.
So it's,
do you guys like Game of Thrones?
I'm not a fan. I haven't seen it really. Have you, Ben?
I have. I've watched it, yeah.
Are you a virgin?
I actually watched one to...
Am I a virgin? No. But surprisingly. Are you?
No.
Your kids weren't
adopted? I just think it's a bit lame to not watch Game of Thrones.
Okay. Who was the first person you had sex with? Can you remember losing your virginity or not?
Look, my first time was a very special time. It was under the stars with a fellow waitress at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the son of the boss, obviously. But I think that did appeal to her, you know, power.
Power corrupts.
Well, I'd like to say I didn't corrupt her.
No.
You know.
So that's just a phrase, isn't it?
Anyway, we then, after our shift had finished, I was like, okay, you finish up the dishes, meet me on the beach. She finished up cleaning and I was sitting there when she arrived, naked.
Aroused?
Not aroused.
Okay.
I just splashed water on myself to stop myself from getting aroused because I didn't want her to arrive and see myself naked and, you know, aroused because that'd be quite alarming.
Yeah.
So she arrived and then we made love underneath the stars. And that was on my 21st birthday.
Did you enjoy the experience?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was amazing, you know, amazing amount of time we spent together. You know, was it long? You know, what is long?
True.
She said the same thing about size of me. It's all subjective.
Yeah, it is.
But she's wonderful.
And then did you see her again?
No, she didn't actually finish cleaning the dishes. We had to get rid of her.
You had to fire her.
Yeah, and I had to do it the next day. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, David, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you on the show. We're going to finish up in the way we always do when we ask if you could pick three dishes to save from all the ones you've mentioned today. They don't necessarily have to be a starter main put, but kind of a desert island meal made up of the dishes you've mentioned to us throughout the show today.
Mm.
What would you save?
Orzo Saganaki with prawns, steak covered in tzatziki.
You still believe in that?
Till I die.
Okay.
Just try it. Don't knock it till you tried it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the Greek Bernaise. And then for put, it would have to be the tiramisu in the shape of the Eden Project with Biscoff as the layers.
Genius.
I mean, unbelievable.
You're even more in love with him now than you were pre?
Yeah.
Or have you lost faith in him a bit?
No, I haven't actually. Okay. As I was in awe of you when you arrived. In the middle, I thought you're a little bit unhinged. But when you've just put together that menu, I think that's
genius.
Wonderful. Yeah, very
clever.
It is
a thing of genius.
It's very, very clever.
All great chefs are slightly unhinged, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Which of my dishes are you most excited about trying?
Golden Skate Bridge.
Yes. I just think I've never heard
something so genius
or seen anything like that in all my years of cooking.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be in the book, is it?
It'll be in the book. It's the front cover.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's just a picture of a dish, which I thought was cool.
Yeah,
clever. And I'm behind it, just looking
through the skate
bridge.
I wish we'd got that for the
promo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll send you guys a copy on the house.
Well, we should say
you could pay for postage, like.
Yeah, sure, we'll pay for postage. David, it's been an absolute honour to have you on the podcast, sir.
Pleasure.
Finally get a chance for Ben to meet one of his culinary heroes. For all those listening, we'll see you all next week. Please rate us 5-star, share with all your friends, and leave a comment. But until then, we'll put the link for your recipe book in the bio of this podcast so people can get hold of it. And David, it's been an honour. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And best of luck with all the chicken shit you're doing.
Thank you.
And thanks for having me.